You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Well, I'll tell you, Happy New Year. Happy New Year. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about 2017. Anybody else? Yeah, why don't you high-five your neighbor, take a seat, say happy, happy new year. Happy Christmas, happy new year. We get to have New Year's in church. How cool is that? That is fantastic. I've got to tell you, I'm telling you right now, a word from God. This is going to be a wonderful year, right? This is going to be a good year, all right? I'm not just saying that. I believe it in my heart. I feel like God has put that in my heart. This is going to be a great year for my family. This is going to be a great year for our church. And hands up if you're a part of the church. Come on now. This is going to be a great year. God's given me a word for the church. I'll share it with you in a moment. But I'm glad you're in church this morning. I'm super glad that Pastor Nathan and Pastor Sean are in church this morning. They're sitting apart. I think they had too much time together last night. And so these guys slept at church. They're the only people to have done that here. they had a bit of a youth thing going on. Do we have a video or a picture of that, I think? They had the youth shenanigans. There it is. Oh, no. Okay, goodbye with that. I didn't want to be here. I'm just saying. Those mouth things, did anyone else get those weird mouth things for Christmas? Like, I will never put one of those in my mouth. Ever. Like, they are ridiculous. They're disgusting. My wife and all her friends, they took photos of themselves with it, put it on Facebook. I'm like, y'all look stupid. But except for you, baby, you look pretty. But like, I'm like, who would ever do that? And then use someone else's ones. It'd be like putting someone else's false teeth in your mouth. Like, you don't put other people's false teeth in your mouth. It's absolutely revolting on every level. And we got given that game for Christmas. I am never playing, ever. And so, I don't care if you can wash that thing in the dishwasher. You'll have to mount that thing before I'll feel like it's clean enough for my mouth. So, anyway, Happy New Year. Anyone stay up last night all the way? Hands up if you stayed up all the way to midnight. I feel like a couple of hundred people from this service did too, but didn't make it here this morning. And so it's all right. We were pretty convinced it'd be low attendance at the 9 o'clock service today. But you make sure you text them all and let them know. Not in an abusive way, like, hey, you went at church, you do it bad, get to church. Not like that. Just text them and say, hey, you can still get to church at 10:45 or at 5:30 tonight. For tonight, we're having baptisms at the 5:30 service, which is going to be pretty awesome. We just pop this out here. I'm like, pop it out here so that people can look at it and get inspired and remember that we're doing that tonight. So, but people stay up so late on New Year's. I can't even do it. Like, I tried 7 years ago, was the last time I tried, and it failed dismally. I think I had kids, and kids don't just take a bit of energy, but they also take 3 hours of sleep every night. Even when they're fully grown, I feel like, because I can't do it anymore. I've got to be sick or on medication and unable to sleep to be able to do it. But y'all did it. A whole bunch of yous did. I'm just not that excited about, you know, well, okay, it was 11:59 now, and now it's 12. Congratulations. You know, good job, you know. I'm just not that big on it, all right? And I'm not that big on New Year's resolutions either. I think I've told you about that, haven't I? Yeah, I'm not a big New Year's resolution guy. I'm kind of, they just don't gel with me. Maybe it's because I used to fail at them all the time. I'd like make lists and then at the end of the year make the same list. And then at the end of the next year make the same list. Then at the end of the next year, make the same list. I heard that it takes about 6 years of one thing being on a list before it makes it through completion on New Year's resolutions. That is terrible, isn't it? Absolutely dreadful. So I've never been a big New Year's resolution guy. Most of them end up hurting people. Did you know that? They do all this research. Most of them end up making people feel sad. The person who they promised to, or the person they promised for themselves, maybe. You know, I won't get drunk this year, or I won't fill in the blanks. I'll be a better fill in the blanks this year. And only 8% of New Year's resolutions actually make it through the year. And 50% of those don't get through 3 months of the next year. And it's really, really sad to see people's hearts get hurt like that. And so I'm not a real big New Year's resolution guy. I'm all about reflection. I'm all about contemplation. I'm all about goals. I'm all about challenges. I'm all about hearing from God and doing what God has given me. And I'm all about natural times that create those opportunities. Like my mate was saying earlier, birthdays, year ends, things like that. It's all fantastic. But New Year's resolutions, just to say, well, for these 12 months, I'm not going to fill in the blank. Often leads to some pain in people's lives. Now, y'all might be like, what's come over Pastor Jesse? He's usually so encouraging and uplifting and optimistic. Well, I've decided not to be this year. No, I'm just kidding. I've got some great news for you in just a moment, so hang on in there. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for 2016. God, we thank you for everything you did in our lives and in our church. We thank you for the times where it looked bad, but then you came through for us. God, we thank you for the times we walked into situations and your favor just changed everything. God, we thank you for all the wonderful blessings that came for our church, Lord God, as a body of believers, the great things you did. And we ask for favor in 2017. May your favor be upon us. Go before us and follow after us, Lord God. I pray for every family, that they would all have a story at the end of 2017 of your favor on their lives. God, may this great favor and this blessing on our church overflow out of all of us and out of our church. God, we pray you bless the word this morning. Thank you that you're here with us in Jesus' name. Amen. So, hands up if you did a New Year's resolution. I won't mock you, I promise. No one was going to put their hand up after that. Okay, bow your heads and close your eyes. Bow your heads. Come on, let's see. Bow your heads and close your eyes. I love you, man. I love you. There we go. Don't be ashamed. I've got a confession to make in just a moment about New Year's resolutions. I've always been against New Year's resolutions. I've always been against them. Again, mostly because I find people are trying to better themselves. Maybe sometimes they're trying to better themselves to prove themselves to someone or something. Not always. The thing is, you're already wonderful, right? You're already the apple of your father's eye, right? Already, right now, you are the apple of your father's eye. With that issue that you want to overcome this year. And thank God you want to overcome that. That's fantastic. But you're already the apple of your father's eye. He already adores you. He already loves you. You don't need to earn it. You don't need to be completely free of sin or anything else. You don't need to lose 80 pounds for him to love you. You don't even need to be a better Christian. You don't need to turn a page on a calendar to see real change in your life. Can I get an amen? But it is a time of reflection. And I have to admit that recently I've decided to give up soda. Now, I started telling everyone that next year, 2017, I'm not going to drink soda, right? But then I remembered something. Hang on, I always tell people I hate New Year's resolutions. So I am giving it up from January 4th. So no one can say that I went back on my word. I just changed a little bit, all right? So as of January 4th, I'm going to stop drinking soda and I'm going to cuss a little less. They are my New Year's resolutions. No, sorry, no, they're not. They're my January 4th resolutions because the new year did bring, and coming up to it did bring, a time of reflection. And so as of January 4th, I'm going to be healthier and a cleaner mouth. And so that's going to be great, isn't it? And so you're excited about that. Come on, is that good news? Yeah, there we go. Y'all aren't going to be offended when I preach anymore. So that'll be fun. I have a friend who 6 weeks ago in his prayer time, God told him, if you don't stop chewing, it's going to give you cancer. and so stop and I'll help you. So he did, and God's helping him. And he hasn't chewed for 6 weeks. Isn't that exciting? The point is, yeah, give the Lord a hand. It's been hard. He's tried before. Here's the thing. It's not chewing. If you're listening to the podcast and you're in Australia, in America, they chew tobacco. There you go. And I'd never heard of that till I moved here. I always thought, what are these cowboys spitting out of their mouths in all the westerns? You know, I'm like, what is that? Why is their spit brown? I'm like, y'all need to brush your teeth, you know? But he didn't need a turn in a calendar for God to speak to him and bring change into his life. Okay, amen? God can speak to you and bring a change into your life at any time. You just need to be listening. Now, the new year brings a wonderful opportunity to reflect and ask God, God, what do you want to do in my life this year? Fantastic. But can you do yourself and do me a favor? Don't wait every year until the end of the year to ask God if he wants to do anything new in your life. Come on. Don't wait until the end of the year before you ask God if there's anything that he wants to challenge you in, any goals he needs you to set, any resolutions you need to make that aren't necessarily New Year's, but just whenever God speaks to you. Come on now. God wants to speak to you all year long. Amen? So God bless you. Now, we don't need to see it only at New Year's. I get that. But God has made it quite clear that he has plans and often works around time, years, and seasons, right? And so that's why I got to get over my attitude a little bit, right? Because God does seem to work around time, around years, and around seasons. And that's why it is important to ask God at the end of or beginning of every year and say, God, what are you doing in my life right now? What do you want to do in this season of my life that I'm entering into? Usually in Scripture, when people need to change their lives, it's when God says so, not based on a calendar. But when he talks about what he wants to do in us and through us, Scripture often talks about years, times, and seasons. God set up practices and things that should happen every year and every certain number of years and even every 7 years. God set things up in Scripture like that. For example, there was a certain number of years when every time that number of year would come along in Israel that they would all be forgiven their debts. Can I get a hallelujah? Come on, right? Who would love that to happen every seventh year or so, right? I'd be all over that. I would rack up a $2.5 million debt on year 6. Don't think it worked like that, though, did it? No. But that would have been cool, right? So next year, our church is, hey, it's 2017. Is there 7 involved? Maybe our church's debt get wiped this year. I don't know. But here's the thing. I believe that God always has an agenda of things he wants to teach us in each new year. Especially as a church, this year I really believe that God wants to teach us about his favor. All right? Favor. Wait, how do you say that one? Okay, you do say it wrong. So I do believe that God wants to teach us at Eternity Church about what it means to walk in his favor. To be a child of God. What does it mean? And every January, we for the last 2 years, and this year will be the same, we're going to spend the year starting January in prayer, talking about prayer, right? Set up the year. Remember, you have access to God. Anything that comes up this year, you can speak to God and ask him to intervene in your circumstance. But I think before we roll too much into prayer this month and this season, what I want to do is remind you that you have favor with God before you even ask. See, you're going to ask for him to do great things, but you got to understand that you have favor with him before you ask. You're not just walking up to a judge, a congressman, a police officer, or someone else in authority over your life. You're walking up to someone who already has favor for you. Right? You are in his favor and then you ask. Amen. That's what we want to understand more this year. In Luke 4, verse 16 to 21, when Jesus was handed a scroll from the prophet Isaiah had written, he was in the synagogue in Nazareth. He unrolled the scroll and then he spoke these words. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Now he was reading from Isaiah, which we know goes on to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, but also the day of the vengeance of our God. Now, what's that all about? See, a day of judgment that's coming when Christ returns to earth. Those who've rejected Christ will face an eternity apart from God. The Bible calls this hell. You've heard of that before. That's why we're going to never, ever have a service without asking people if they want to know Jesus. Amen. Give people an opportunity to know Jesus every single time. Praise God. I don't want my friends. I don't want my family. I don't want my acquaintances. I don't want my enemies going to that place. But until then, because Jesus has come, right? Jesus is here, right? So until then, we're living in the year of the Lord's favor. That means it's a season of God's favor because Christ died and rose again for our sins. Salvation comes by grace through faith, now available to everyone who repents and believes. And until Christ comes back, this is the season of the Lord's favor. If you've ever read that and wondered, what's it talking about, this year of the Lord's favor? What is that? That's now. Come on, that's good news. Someone say amen. Right now, we are in the year of the Lord's favor, the season of the Lord's favor. And while we're in this season, I believe that right now in this year, that God wants you to understand what that means in your life. What does it mean to be a child of God and walk in His favor? It's fantastic that we're all living in a season of God's great favor. Amen. Salvation for all who accept Jesus. The ability to pray and ask God into any situation, at any time, in any state of our heart and life. Mercy that means we won't be punished for our mistakes, praise God. And grace that blesses us and gives us favor even when we haven't always earned it. Can I get an amen? See, favor's two part. One, salvation for all who want it. Two, blessing and favor on all His children, and that's you. Come on, someone say, "I got the favor." Come on, you got the flavor of favor. Amen? So what does it mean to live in God's favor? Everywhere you go, you have God's favor. There will never be another place that you go where you don't carry the favor of God. There will never be another moment that you live that you don't live in the favor of God. There'll never be another situation that you don't walk into it with God's favor on your life. Everywhere you go. Can I tell you a secret? I want you to understand favor a little more. Can I tell you a secret? Can I give you an admission? All right. Now, this is going to be a little heavy, but I'm a huge fan of nepotism. There you go. I said it. I'm totally into nepotism. We all are a little bit, if you admit it. But I got to tell you, God is the biggest nepotist of all time. He's all about it, and He does it every day. Some of you are like, sounds like a terrible word. Nepotism, by the dictionary's definition, is the practice among those with power or influence of favoring relatives and friends, especially by giving them jobs and benefits. God is the biggest nepotist of all time. Come on, can I get an amen? If you want to understand what favor is nepotism to the nth degree. Amen. Favor is nepotism defined, and you have the favor of God. I'm totally into it. Can I tell you another secret? I like my kids more than yours. Straight up. If there's a bully and he says, "I'm going to punch one of those two kids," I'm going to tell him to punch yours. Give me mine. Come here, son. You're going to be all right. All right. We could take this story as far as you like for things that I'd let happen to yours to protect mine. But I love my kids more than I love yours, all right? Anyone else feel the same? Look at your neighbor and tell him, "I like mine more than yours." That's right. If it's your husband or wife next to you, well, that's strange. You know, you should both love those kids. But I like my kids more than I like yours. And I'll protect my kids and your kids, but if I got to choose, I'm choosing mine. Amen? I love my kids. God is a nepotist. God is all about nepotism. Now, I want my kids to work hard and earn their place. I want them to be the best that they can be. But honestly, I'm probably going to bless them anyway. I probably am. And I'm human. He's a way better daddy than I am. God is like that, but so much worse. You haven't deserved salvation, but you got it anyway. Yeah? You haven't earned the right to carry his favor, but because you're his daughter, you're his son, you got it anyway. Did you know? Check this out. I'm going to freak you out for a moment. I'm just going to go there. I'm just going to go here. Did you know that Christians are the richest on the planet? Did you know that? Did you know that? The Christians make up the wealthiest group of people on the planet. Praise God, they're very generous as well. I thank God for that. Now, there are some very wealthy non-Christians, right? But Christians, what? Really? Christians make up that biggest group of people? Did you know that Christians are not only the wealthiest people in the world, but they're generally healthier and live longer than any other group of people on the planet? Did you know that? That's called favor, amen? We didn't earn that. We didn't earn that. It's been happening for years and years and years as places with lots of Christians evolve, they kind of become more and more blessed. I don't know what's going on there. The only thing we can say is, wow, God's been good to us. We might look at that and be like, that just feels uncomfortable. I don't know. I feel good about it. I feel great about it. Gives me a great responsibility, doesn't it? Yeah? A massive responsibility lands on our shoulders to be generous because of that, right? Because the goodness of God should overflow, right? Like I'll read in a minute, my cup should overflow, right? And it's got to overflow somewhere. It should be going to people, right? I got to be blessing people. I got to be generous myself, amen? I want to live like God showed me how to live, amen? I want to be that person. But Christians are blessed because they carry the favor of God. Now, if that makes you feel uncomfortable, I want you to make peace with it. You have the favor of God, amen? You're a son or a daughter of God, and you carry his favor. It's anywhere you go. It's everywhere you find yourself. It's called being a son or daughter of the King, amen? Someone give the Lord a shout of praise. That's good news, amen? Here's the great thing about Christians. But when we find ourselves in situations where we're not rich or where we're not poor or something's going on, we don't ever give up on our God, amen? We never give up. I love it. Christians have this way of being, no matter what happens, I'm serving my God. I don't care whether I'm on the mountaintop or the valley low, because I know that when I come and draw the line through my life, God's bringing me up the mountaintop, amen? I might be in a valley right now, but I'm on my way up a mountaintop, praise God. I'm never going to stay down here. My God will lift me up. Psalm 23 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Think about that. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's while I'm alive, amen? And then after that, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is good news. In the presence of my enemies. See, I believe that this year God wants you to understand his favor. To know what it means to be a child of God, walking in the favor of God. Like King David wrote in the Psalm, his goodness and mercy follows him everywhere he goes. Where was that? Where'd he go? Well, everywhere the goodness and mercy followed him. Amen? Like God said to Moses, goodness will pass before my eyes, before your eyes. And everywhere you go, open your eyes and look at it. David said God prepared a table before him in the presence of his enemies. When you sit down and think about that, that's kind of nuts. Think about the imagery here. Imagine being in your enemy's presence. Guns blazing, probably arrows in this story, I'm guessing. Arrows going everywhere. We sit down at a table that this scripture says that God himself prepared for us, right? Not that he sent that God himself, God prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Imagine yourself being there. You sit down and God's no stingy host. He is generous. All the greatest fruits and drinks. Wonderfully prepared banquet right in front of me. My enemy's out there shooting bows and stuff at me. Far and away. I'm imagining a 22-ounce bone-in ribeye. Of course, it was cooked perfectly. Well done. Hey, we're reading Old Testament right here. You know there weren't no blood in that. Mm-hmm. I think I just won that round. That's right. The only time I've ever won that argument, because I got the mic and you don't. The food speaks to provision and nourishment. God has anointed your head with oil. That speaks to healing. It speaks to protection and the slaying of pests and enemies. Gone. The Old Testament's so violently graphic. You know, God will slay the enemies. Well, come on, that's what's going on right here while I sit down at the table and rest with the Lord. All this is happening where the enemy can see it. They're watching. The enemy can see that God protects you, that God heals you, that God himself provides for you, that you are well-resourced and it overflows in Jesus' name. This is what Scripture says about our God. This is what God says he'll do for you. For you. May I have the band come back up? Now, I'm not going to lie. I have one or two issues. I didn't even know I had those two. Lauren told me last night. I said, baby, I feel pretty good. Have I got any problems? She goes, yeah, just these two. Deal with them, you'll be perfect. I'm like, thank you, baby. Then I'll deal with humility. Not really. But two things I really hate. Well, I don't hate the places. I hate the idea of being in those places. I don't like countries that aren't the same as America or Australia. Is that a terrible thing to say? I just don't want to be there, you know what I mean? I want to embrace cultures and I love everybody. But I got my way of doing things, you know what I mean? And I don't want to be anywhere else. You know, I don't want to visit anywhere else. I'm a little scared. I think I'm going, you know, someone's going to slap me or I'm going to say something wrong and someone's going to punch me or a rocket will land on my head or just crazy things, you know. I'm a little bit afraid of it, if I'm honest, all right? The other thing is, I flippin' hate flying. I still think it's stupid. Like, you know, God gave us legs, not wings. Right? Right? Come on now. But I've also known that God's been speaking to me for a long time about going to Israel. And for a few years now, how it will do something wonderful in my heart as I see the places that Jesus went. And as the stories come alive, where these wonderful things happened. I've felt God saying to me for a long time that he wants to do something special in my heart and even the church. But I've always been like, yeah, but no. Because that would involve going somewhere else. And we support this wonderful church in Mumbai in India. And they're like, come, Jesse, come. I'm like, yeah, but no. I'll send Matt, Nathan. I'll send Lauren even, you know. But I don't even want to go. I'll send my kids. But I don't want to go. But I've always been like, nah. I don't want to go to Israel because rockets aren't my favorite thing. They get bombed a bit over there, terror attacks and things. And I'm not a huge fan of rockets. And you got to fly forever to get there. For real, I've been saying no to God for ages about this. See, I can't face those two random fears. You know, I've got my family. They need me alive and stuff. But I was praying this week. I went for a drive. I do these dream drives and prayer drives. And so I often take a friend. I took Nathan, my friend, with me this week, Nathan Veach. And as I was praying, God spoke to me about it again and said, you got to go. Make it happen. I got your back. And I was in a great moment of prayer when I realized that, you know, God is speaking to me right now and he's telling me that he's got my back. And here I am all week thinking about favor. Yeah. Prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Not that I have enemies over there, but you know what I mean? Like, just the whole, anything that could happen when you're not in America or Australia, you know? Like, I'm like, what? And I'm talking about favor. And God's speaking to me and saying, Jesse, you got to go. I want to bless you. I want to do something in your heart, in your church, and in your life. Make it happen. I got your back. So I rang a friend of mine and told him that God told me to go. I knew I had to make a phone call right then because I might bail otherwise. A friend has been talking to me about it. So we'll go this year or next year, whatever works, I'll do it. See, I realized something, for real. God doesn't tell you to do something so a rocket can land on your head. Now that sounds brutal, but seriously, do you know what I'm saying? God doesn't tell you to do something or go somewhere so that something terrible can happen to you. In fact, the safest place you'll ever be is right in the center of God's will. Right in the center. And if right in the center of God's will is somewhere in the middle of a war zone, even if that's where God was telling you to go, that would actually be the safest place you could ever be. See, I'm a child of God. Jesus died for me. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. This is the year of the Lord's favor, the season of His unending favor. Amen. He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and He anoints my head with oil. He protects me, provides for me, heals me. My cup overflows. So not only will it be a blessing for me, but because my cup overflows everywhere I go, it'll be a blessing for everyone I see. How about that? The favor of God overflowing out of me onto the people on the plane. Amen. Do you know, a friend told me, hey, if your cup overflows, but you didn't want to go somewhere with some people because it's a little scary, did you know those people are safer if you're with them? Because your cup overflows. Amen. Come on, it's the favor of God. Would you stand up with me, church? I'm a little excited about this. See, next time you walk into a situation with fear, remember the Lord's favor. Next time you don't feel good enough, remember God's nepotism. Amen. I'm not even kidding. I want you to walk out of this place today having finally understood that favor is nepotism, and own it. And own that thing. And walk out there and say, that's right, guess who's my daddy? The King of Kings, the God of all creation, amen? And He favors me, praise God. What is God speaking to you about? Next time you walk into a room and you feel like everyone in that room is better than you, remember whose favor you have. You think they're all better salesmen than you or saleswomen than you. You think they're better lawyers than you, or you think they're better builders than you and all this. So they're definitely going to win all this. Remember favor. Amen. Remember favor and ask God to help you be the best that you can be. You want to make a change this year? Hey, you can do all these things too. But hey, if you're only going to do one thing, rather than lose weight or stop some habit, rather than lose something or add something, walk in the favor of God and understand what it means. Now, here's the thing about favor. You have to ask for the thing you want. Yeah? God, protect me and my family from this day forward. Fantastic. But you walk into a situation and you want something to happen. You want His favor. You want a bit of that nepotism going on in your life. Then say, hey, God, I'm applying for this job. I pray that you give it to me. Not because I earned it. Not because I deserve it. Not because of anything, but because I'm your kid. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, God, I want my sales to go up this year. God, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you this, but God, I want you to do this, not because I did this, not because I deserve it, not because I earned anything, but God, because I'm your kid, will you give me more sales at work? Hey, God, I want my marriage to be restored. I want this, not because I've earned it. Maybe I messed it up. It's not even her fault. Maybe it's my fault, Lord God, but because of your favor, will you help me fix this? It's a favor of God. Walk in the favor of God. Understand what it means to be a child of God. It means nepotism at its greatest offense, and you're the beneficiary. And I'm not kidding. Favor of God is best described as the ultimate nepotism. God favoring you over everyone else because you're His son and you're His daughter. That's 2017 right there. Who's ready for 2017? Come on, if you're ready for favor, lift your hands and praise the Lord. If you're ready for favor, give him a shout of praise. Clap your hands and thank him.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.